Good morning. I have great news. Every moment I have great news. And the great news is that if you're seeking enlightenment or awakening, you're already enlightened. So that's the great news. There's no one striving to get something called enlightenment or awakening. That has to be the starting point. That has to be the starting point. The entire purpose of the Great Freedom Teaching is to demystify and normalize the timeless freedom that is already the case for every human being. So there's no need to put this matter of awakening or enlightenment or timeless freedom or whatever you want to call it into any category. The moment we put it into a category, for example, saying it's a religious matter, a spiritual matter, a philosophical matter, a psychological matter, a political matter, the moment we put it into any category, we take up a frame of reference for what it is. And then we have all these markers of description within that category that limit timeless freedom. So, you know, if we wanted to come up with a category for timeless freedom, the most all-encompassing category would be being human and knowing that this is our essence, that for every human being, no matter what we've learned about ourselves, no matter what we've taken ourselves to be, that our reality is aware basic space, and that this aware basic space is an infinite vast expanse, not confined in any way, not confined in any way by any points of view we have about being somebody or any points of view we have about the world or anything else. So, you know, a way to talk about that that's very simple is that we learn many things about ourselves once we are born as a human being. We learn so many things about ourselves. Most of us learn that we are somebody, that we're an individual I, that we have a personal identity, that this personal identity has all kinds of characteristics that are accumulated over a lifespan, and that accumulation of characteristics, in other words, thoughts, feelings, sensations, and actions, that those form our identity. That's who we are. What we've thought, felt, said, and done, that is our identity. And of course, that is one way of looking at it, and it is the conventional way of looking at what being human means. However, even though there may be endless conventional designations for who we are, it can never take away from the reality of what we truly are. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we already are timelessly free. We've never been affected by any of these words or labels that are included and contained within aware basic space. We've never been affected by any of those. And so as long as we take ourselves to be affected by them, we will be. It's that simple. Once we just rest naturally as the essence of awareness, more and more we familiarize ourselves with our identity as that rather than as all these labels. Because you see, we can't do anything about these labels, even if we try. We all know this already, everyone in this room, no matter what we've tried to do about our emotional states, our thoughts, our sensations, our actions, they just keep coming. They just keep coming. Even if we can muster together some kind of non-conceptual state for a little while, we can never keep it in place. We might, big non-conceptual state, an experience of something amazing. But this too is a point of view. You see, timeless freedom doesn't need to call itself anything. That's why it's called great freedom or timeless freedom. It doesn't need to call itself anything. It's not limited in any way at all. So, you know, all these points of view are included and contained within the basic space of our awareness, and that awareness is a vast single expanse of equalness and evenness, in which all points of view, no matter what they are equal and even. You see, everything, no matter what it is either timelessly free and equal, or it isn't. It's that simple. So when it comes to this matter of waking up, we don't have anything special to do. Once we think we have something special to do that's going to make us more likely to be awake, the less likely it is we will be awake. So if we think we have to have special thoughts or special emotional states or special actions that comprise our life, then we'll be moving further and further away from the great reality of what we are. Because what we are is already timelessly free. And it's timelessly free as every thought, word, and action. So, you know, very often when we hear this, it turns everything we've thought to be true upside down. When we've spent a life, maybe including a life of spiritual seeking, that includes a world of opposites. In other words, some thoughts are good, some thoughts are bad, some thoughts are neutral. Some emotional states are bad, some emotional states are good, some emotional states are neutral. Some of our conduct is good, some of it's bad, and a lot of it's neutral. So the same with sensations of our body, some good, some bad, some neutral, depending on how we perceive all that. So when we hear that everything is an expanse of basic space that is entirely equal and even, sometimes that may be scary, you know, like how could that possibly be when I've taken myself to be this conundrum of being a mixed bag of some good, some bad, and a lot neutral. So you see, we can't really figure out the reality of what we are. We can't figure it out in any way. We can't figure it out intellectually. We can't figure it out emotionally. We can't figure it out from the angle of vision or point of view of any label. We can't figure it out by anything we do. So no matter what our conduct is, it's not, if we try to shape our conduct to get awake, to get timelessly free, we're not going to be able to do it. You know, if we're doing 3 or 4 hours of meditation a day and pujas and all of that, we're as likely to find timeless freedom there as we are making love and eating chocolate cakes. This is really true. There is nothing excluded. This is why we label it great freedom or timeless freedom. There's nothing excluded. Nothing about our ordinary human life that is excluded. You know, if we think we have to put ourselves into a bodily state of total pure peace in order to realize who we are, that's just another point of view, you see. That's just another addition to the points of view of who we might take ourselves to be. But the tried and true way of allowing all of this to naturally settle as a single blissful expanse is to just rest naturally, rest freely as awareness itself that is the essence of every perception, no matter how we've judged these perceptions to be positive, negative, or neutral. And the more we do so, the more this uncontrived reality of complete rest becomes obvious. So very often, you know, we may have been doing all kinds of things that we are hoping will lead to awakening. Maybe, you know, we've had a teacher, teachers, we've read lots of books, we've been doing special actions, meditations, pujas, rituals, yoga, going to mass, whatever it is, you know, depending on our point of view. So when we hear this about resting naturally, it just doesn't seem like it could be the case sometimes because we've had to work so hard for everything else. We've had to work so hard to be somebody, you know, either to be a conventional somebody or to be a spiritual somebody. We've had to work so hard to do that. And when we hear that the great reality is directly accessed through resting naturally for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes permanent, it just seems like that's way too easy. Or, you know, as one man said to me after trying this for a while, resting naturally as each perception, he said, "This is so easy, it's like cheating." When you hear about that which is the pinnacle of being human, the pinnacle approach to being human, and that it comes about through ease and rest, the less effort in doing, the better. Oh, you know, it just for some people it just doesn't seem possible. It's much easier to hang on to some kind of form. Like, oh wow, you know, I have my 3 hours of meditation a day, and when I'm meditating I feel incredible spaciousness. I don't want to give that up. Well, you know, you don't have to give anything up if you're meditating 3 hours a day or even 24 hours a day. Or if you are involved in endless pujas and all kinds of activity, no matter what it is. Just rest naturally, rest freely, because no matter what those are, there's going to be some perception there. Perception is inseparable from awareness, just as the color blue is inseparable from the sky, just as the luster of gold is inseparable from gold, just as the brilliance of a diamond is inseparable from the diamond. So all points of view, all perceptions, all phenomena are inseparable from awareness. And when we rest naturally as the immediacy of every one of these perceptions, and I use this preposition as in a very pointed way and with a very specific purpose, because if we say awareness of something or awareness in something, it sounds like there's a subject and an object. But if it's awareness as the perception, there's only awareness. You see, they're inseparable. So no matter what perception we have come up, say, you know, we have bliss in our relationship with our loved one, or we have discomfort, no matter what the perception is, we have no need to either cling to that or reject it. That we rest naturally as whatever it is that's appearing. Whatever is appearing is a label only, just like any word in the dictionary. But you know, if we took the vast expanse of pure space, which is really what we are, and then we fashioned the letters of the alphabet out of pure space, and then put them together in all the words in the dictionary and all the books ever written and everything appearing on the internet and everything that ever came out of anyone's mouth, it would all still be pure space. Because if we configure something or fashion something out of pure space, it's still going to be pure space, right? So you see, all these perceptions that are included and contained within us, we don't need to do anything about them. If we try to shape them into better perceptions, all we're getting is more perceptions added to the one we're trying to fix up. Do you understand what I'm saying? All we get is more perceptions. We don't get we don't get a taste of sublime reality. All these perceptions, no matter what they are, there's nothing that can be done about them. They're free in their own place, liberated upon arising. Even if we tried to hold on to them, we couldn't do it. It's just like grabbing pure space. It's impossible to grab pure space. So why even try? We'll just spend our whole life grabbing onto perceptions, just hoping that this perception or that perception is going to do it. This perception or that perception is going to be the one that brings comfort. We've all tried this. We know how it is. So, you know, There's no human being anywhere who is excluded from the direct experience of awareness. And this is all that is necessary for the realization of timeless freedom. This isn't something split off from being human, like transcending humanness and existing as some kind of space that excludes the practicalities of human life or the problems facing the world. Timeless freedom is timelessly free as everything, including all the problems. When we live our lives grabbing onto all the perceptions, the only solutions we can see for our problems are those that are based on points of view or perception. But when we rest naturally as the essence of every perception, as timeless awareness itself, rather than feeling the constraints or limits of an individual human being who is bound by the accumulation of everything they've ever thought, felt, or done, all of a sudden, you see, when we are living from points of view, we're only tapping into those points of view. All our points of view that we've accumulated, that we've heard from others, or that somehow have appeared within us out of basic space, we're just tapping into those for all of our solutions. But when we rest naturally as timeless awareness, then we tap into this indivisible wisdom mind, this indivisible wisdom body, indivisible wisdom speech that is the great totality for everyone. But this is accessed only through timeless freedom. We can't ever think it up. You see, wisdom isn't something that can be cultivated or developed. Point of view, it's fleeting. How could it cultivate or develop anything? We assume a sequence only of, oh, I'm going to be compassionate or I'm going to be wise. And then we have another point of view that says, well, if I do good works, then I will be compassionate. And then we have another point of view that says, oh, my good works will be feeding the hungry. But you see, this is all still with an anomaly of point of view. The only true freedom is timelessly free as every perception. And that is a source of potent wisdom that is so far beyond anything that could ever come from point of view. Potent wisdom that it opens like a floodgate, and that floodgate can never be closed. So potent wisdom and compassion that you just, by resting naturally, the floodgates are thrown open and the ceaseless compassion and wisdom issue forth in a way that provides all kinds of things that we never possibly could have imagined, like the Great Freedom Teaching. So you see, timeless freedom, it isn't constrained or constricted by any form, no matter how enduring that form may be. So say there are all these great teachings of enlightenment and they're all sequestered within religious or spiritual forms. That means nothing to timeless freedom. That means nothing to timeless freedom. Timeless freedom includes and contains everything, impartially. Everything that is included and contained within timeless freedom is equally pristine, equally immaculate, equally spiritual, equally religious, equally philosophical, equally whatever label you want to put on it. There's no special way to contain timeless freedom. And, you know, we really need to listen to this message today as human beings. We need to realize that this is the true reality of who we are. Everyone, not just some people who are the elect or lucky enough to be awake or who want to split themselves off from everything and just sit there until they wake up. You know, this is the province of everyone. As long as we continue to believe that it requires special doing and we have to cut ourselves out of life and ordinary human living, in order to be awake, there will only be a few people ever who wake up, and there will be less and less over time. But hey, we're right here. We're right here, and we're already timelessly free. So it's up to each of us to begin with that, not to say, well, you know, I'm going to be timelessly free maybe in 20 or 30 years after I meditate for a while, or I'll be timelessly free in 10 million years after I live countless lifetimes and accumulate enough meritorious action. You know, this is the true reality of what awakening or enlightenment is that everyone is already timelessly free. This has been the message of all great beings. You know, when Buddha was around, he was communicating things in a very straightforward way that human beings at that time could understand. Or Adi Shankara, or Jesus, or Kuan Yin, or whoever it is. All of these were very contemporary messages. And they were always the same message. You're already free. You're just like me. You know, there's no difference between us. We're already awake. Buddha, that wasn't even his name. Buddha is just a Sanskrit word that means awake. And all Buddha did was say, hey, you know, you're all already awake. Everybody's awake. There are no limits of any kind on being awake. Buddha said, it's preposterous that you would think that women couldn't be awake, or as was thought at the time. Or it's preposterous that awakening would be limited to the Brahmin caste or whatever it is. He said, or the priests. He said, that's preposterous. Everyone's timelessly free. Well, you know, Buddha was an Indian. He was born here in India. So he was born into the tradition of the Rig Veda, the Upanishads, Vedanta. And he had three gurus, and he said, no, this isn't right. What all the gurus are saying, it isn't right. Everyone's already timelessly free. And that's the teaching I'm going to give. I'm going to tell everybody that. And you know, within just a few hundred years, all of India became Buddhist. Isn't that amazing? Because when the people heard this message, they said, well, of course. You know, of course. We are timelessly free. So you see, this is the same message now as has always been for everyone. Everyone already, if we want to call it awakening or enlightenment, we can, but we don't need to call it that. We could just call it being human. We could call it being human. Now there's a concept, isn't it? Just the reality of being human. Something that we all are talking about as true about ourselves, and that we're all supporting each other in being. So a worldwide community of mutual support for this great reality of being human. That's what great freedom is. And do you have any questions? There's really nothing to say, is there? But you know, if I were just spouting all this out as a philosophy, well, it sounds good, you know, it sounds really great. But you know, since I realized who I have always been 24 years ago, I've seen, when this occurred for me, it occurred out of the blue, so to speak. In other words, I'd never done any meditations or pujas or had a guru or even knew that there was anything called enlightenment or awakening. I just found myself in a pickle. Does everybody know what that means? A pickle is when you get into a situation in your life that you can't get out of. You're in a pickle. You know, all the thoughts are coming, all the emotions are coming, all the circumstances are coming, and there's no way to organize it all to make it feel good anymore. So I was in a pickle. When I was in the pickle, I couldn't find a way out. No way out, you know. I was bombarded by all these points of view. They wouldn't stop coming. No matter what I tried, they didn't stop coming. And believe me, I tried about everything. So finally, I had to give up. I had to give up. I thought, gosh, you know, I have at least three, four, maybe five or six decades left of my life, and I can't bear living like this. And so I was suddenly realizing that all these things, no matter what they were coming from somewhere, and that somewhere was an expanse of equalness. In other words, when I just rested as each of those perceptions came up, I found that their root, their origin, their unbornness was in something that I experienced as total relief. I didn't even know what to call it. Not awareness or basic space or anything else. And then the more I rested as that, the more it became obvious. So it was very natural, very familiar. It wasn't like I was taking myself out of being human. It was like I was being swallowed into being truly human. And after a short time, 10 days, it was just obvious all the time. And it was obvious that it had been obvious all the time. I just had never noticed it before. And I thought, wow, this is so amazing. This is so grand. This is the reality of what every human being is. And it's so straightforward. I'm just going to share this with everyone. Just that simple. So, you know, when I share it, I share my direct experience, and then other people who want to, they try it out too, resting naturally. And as people have tried that over the years, many people have had the direct experience permanently of this timeless freedom, one that is of profound benefit. And in other words, it's not a personal matter, like trying to be a better person for oneself and have a bigger bank account or something like that. That may happen. its natural emanation is benefit. So you see, the pulse of life, the vitality of timeless freedom, the vitality of this basic space that is entirely aware is benefit. It's benefit that's totally uncontained, without trying to be beneficial. There's no choice. There's no choice whatsoever. So I did want to point that out, that I'm not a philosopher. Are there any questions? Please ask me anything at all. I won't be shocked, and no one else will be there. And
I just wanted to, if I understood you right, you were aware that everything comes from one space or so?
Yes.
And then you went in that space, or you just came across?
Yes, well, I was aware that everything is inseparable from that space. So what I call the basic space of awareness, or aware basic space, is our true identity. It's a vast expanse, infinite like the sky, with no periphery, no center, no reference point whatsoever. And I simply realized that everything is included and contained within that space and inseparable from it. So it's not within it, but separate from it. But it's the same as it. It's equal. And that all these things that are included and contained within awareness are completely equal. They're not in being awareness only. In other words, everything, no matter what it is, has no independent nature other than awareness. You see what I'm saying here?
He went direct in the source. Can I say source?
Uh-huh, exactly.
It came out of desperation. You were desperate before, and then you could go.
But desperation isn't necessary. No, that I was just unlucky. Desperation is not required. I have people come and say, oh, it seems like everyone who wakes up, they go into desperation. Well, don't ever believe that, because I've seen lots of people who didn't need to be desperate. So, you know, yes, so whatever it is that appears, it is equal to that source. The appearances, in other words, anything that has a label, like anything that's identified in the dictionary, or any colloquialism, or any word whatsoever, all these have their origin in awareness, and they're nothing other than awareness. So what that means is they may have a vivid appearance of, for example, beautiful you sitting there, yet there's no nature there that's independent of awareness. What is your name?
Shanti.
No matter where we looked for Shantiness in you as an independent identity, we would never find that. We'd only find awareness. Because see, awareness is the root of every experience. It's the source of every experience. And that awareness is not limited to the frame of Shanti. That awareness is vast, like infinite space. The indivisible source that is infinitely expansive, like the sky. Everything is included and contained within that. And the reality of what you are is holy, positive, basic space. That holy, positive, basic space that is entirely aware. If we searched high and low within you, we would never find a personal identity.
Is it also called the presence? Is that the same as the presence? What's it called, presence?
We could call it presence, but the way that I often refer to it is basic space that is naturally present and active as dynamic energy. But you see, these three descriptions are inseparable. They're one. So we don't really have to have any name. If we have a name that we're going to call it, like now or presence or emptiness or any of those things, then we have a characteristic. So we've limited timeless freedom with a characteristic. But if we just rely on the felt sense of rest, that is the basics, that is the essence of the basic space of awareness, then more and more we realize that awareness without any labels. You know, it's so overt that it can't be hidden at all. You know, we are aware of being naturally present here. So see, that awareness is the essence of the perception of being naturally present. Awareness is the essence of every single experience, no matter what it is. No matter what we say, awareness is the root of whatever is said. If we say, I brush my teeth, it's awareness of I brushing teeth. If we say, I eat, it's awareness of I and awareness of eating, but it's all awareness, awareness, awareness. And when we just simply rest naturally for short moments many times, it becomes permanently obvious that that awareness that is a vast basic space is the essence of everything, no matter what it is, not limited by any word or label. Did you have something more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that all, it seems there's always something between, and this between, this is to cross that, or whatever.
This that I'm suggesting to you, to rest naturally for short moments, repeated many times, until it becomes permanent, is the only approach. It really is. Well, there are many approaches, but this is the direct approach. This is the direct approach. So no matter what you're engaged in throughout the day, no matter what your daily activities, see, there's nothing between. What would be between what? As timeless freedom or awareness or whatever you want to call it is indivisible. In other words, it cannot be divided into parts or fragments of any kind, what would be between what? So see, the only way that we can really directly experience that is through natural rest. In fact, you don't even have to rest naturally. It's just, you know, people who come to this room, I just say, keep coming back. If you don't feel like resting, if you feel it's too much work, just keep coming here and conviction will dawn. Conviction will dawn. It's just so natural to us that conviction will dawn. You really don't have to do anything to be who you are. You already are that. There's never been anything in between.
So what is it that I know that all and still not am it? Or how to express it? I don't know how to express it. And there's nothing between, there's nothing, I am it, but.
You are it, but you don't have the direct experience of that. That's what you're saying. You want it to be permanent all the time, but yet you don't have it, and you've been trying to get it to be permanent for a long time, probably, right?
Staying in it.
Pardon?
Staying in it, or what do you express it, resting in it?
You've been trying to stay in it, or... Well, the Great Freedom Teaching is based on freedom in immediate perception. So freedom in immediate perception, freedom as immediate perception, that means whatever perception arises, to just rest as the essence of that perception, which is awareness. So there's nothing special to do. And if you don't want to rest naturally, could you get Shanti one of the Rest Naturally posters? Thank you. And if you don't want to do that now, please. And if you don't want to do that, just keep coming back here. I can see this in you. If you just keep coming back here, you know, after a few days, you won't need to come back anymore. My job is to make myself obsolete. This is really true. This is really true. Your search is over. Call off the search. Stop efforting. There's nothing more to do. Really. And I can be sitting up here saying this is true for me, but would anyone else like to share how what I'm saying has actually come about for you through showing up here? Shoshana. I really like to listen to everyone else talk, so anyone who wants to come up here, please do.
I'll start with how I was feeling, for years. I didn't realize it was point of view. And I've come to the conclusion about a year ago that everything I knew was second-hand knowledge. This is the way I put it. It was all second-hand knowledge. I didn't know who I really was. And I knew there was something in me that never changed. I used to look in the mirror and even though my body's older, I used to feel that was something that had never, never changed. And then I came to India and changed my point of views. I adopted a new set of point of views. And it was like a prison for me, really. It was like I was in a prison and I wanted to break free. I used to think my heart was in a prison. There was like bars and I couldn't get out. And like Candice said, that I tried to be a better person, I wanted to do this, and I thought by helping this or doing this, I would somehow find this freedom. I knew that meditation wasn't it. Dance was a little bit, for me, quite liberating. But because of the old points of view, and you must do this, you must do hard sadhana, you must do this, you must do this to become enlightened. So I was always like beating myself up about it. and then I met Candice, that gave me all the answers. Because I couldn't integrate it. I knew, but I didn't know how to integrate it, and I didn't realize it was so simple, because we are very complex. And then I did the 12 inquiries course, which was a complete liberation freedom for me. And I realized fully how deep I've been living in these point of views. It was unbelievable. And this resting naturally is just unbelievable. You know, and I remember being very resistant to it, very resistant when I first came. But thank God I'm not anymore, and it's really helped me in so many ways. And the compassion and love you start to feel is incredible. And we all know that, all the people that have done the 12 inquiries here know that. It's, you know, I know this is just the beginning, and I think, well, wow, this is incredible now. You know, when you can suddenly just have that compassion, just nothing about you, just for everybody. So it's really easy, really.
Thank you, Shoshana. Thank you. Oh yes, we have a and we're giving Shanti this poster, Rest Naturally. And anyone else who would like one, I think we have more available, don't we?
We will. We don't at the moment.
Oh, all right. This is hot off the presses, so. You're welcome. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. That's the point.
See how everything's included within it? Sitting, talking. Yeah. Thank you, Shoshana. Did you have a question?
You know, I've had moments, times in my life where I've just been walking somewhere, and there's been just this kind of pervading, you know, nothing leading up to it, nothing, not even a good day, you know, not even a day of any kind of spiritual reading or any such thing. Sometimes, actually, it usually happens on those days, and I'm walking and I don't know, all of a sudden, everything is what it is, and, you know, it is a peaceful feeling, but it's not overly peaceful, it's not overly, it's this, you know, I come from the first time I ever really hooked onto anything that made sense to me was reading Carlos Castaneda. And part of the things that he talked about that I really enjoyed was this thing that we call controlled folly, because no matter what we do, it's folly either way, what you're talking about. You're starting from the basis that we are what we are anyway, no matter what. And so if I have a question to you, it would be, you know, so everything is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all inclusive. And I feel that sometimes in these moments, you know. It's just all what it is. And we put labels on things like, well, we need to have duality so we can know what really feeling good is, because we really know what bad is, or how to feel it, how we're feeling bad. And so when I hear you know, make this statement, we are that now, and we come from the premise of that. It's like when I've read things about manifesting things, you go from the premise of being that thing, and then everything follows. You are that now. You manifest a, you know, you see your business, or you see your family, or you see your situation as it is, as you want to see it, as you want to be it. You are that now. So, for me, listening to you, it's like realizing who we are now, and then everything. It's almost fake until you make it, you know. It's almost you see that in you, and that is who you are. And then, as you talk about this resting naturally, it's like when I'm walking. It's just naturally, it's all natural. You know, everything around is that. And then when I start to go, oh, and then the labels start to appear, and then everything speeds up, you know, and then everything starts to be da-da-da-da, oh, this is what it's like, oh, yeah, and then da-da-da-da. And then, of course, I lose that those moments, you know. But what I'm asking, if there is a question, is so we have to, in this resting naturally, you just forget the question of, is this a Leela, or why are we here, or
right, especially. Is this a Leela, or why are we here? All that, those are equal to dog, cat, children, whatever it is. All points of view, no matter what they are equal. Now, when I started to share this timeless freedom, this message of timeless freedom with people, you see, I had kind of an unusual thing occur in that when I woke up, there was someone with me, and he woke up too. And it was through this mutual support of each other that this occurred. So, you know, most stories of awakening you hear about one person waking up, the isolated Lone Ranger who wakes up. But this wasn't the way it was for me. It was a natural human interaction. So it was about human community, not something split off from everything. And so then at first I thought, wow, this is so amazing. This is probably something everybody knows, and I just didn't realize it. But then, you know, I'd talk to people and I'd wait for them to say something about timeless freedom or whatever they wanted to call it. But no one really seemed to know about it. And so I started sharing with people in the same way that I'd been sharing with this man, and people would realize who they are. But then I would meet people too who they liked the message of natural rest, but there were so many points of view that had been accumulated that it was difficult very often to rest. So the 12 inquiries retreat, that we do a 12-day retreat, and it's 12 inquiries on how to rest naturally. So, you know, it's taken out of being a general philosophy that applies to everybody, and you get to see how each one of your points of view, no matter how entrenched they may be, are nothing but timeless awareness. That's what occurs during the 12 days. And it really works, not just for one or two people, but for everyone. And it doesn't work in any predictable way, like on day one or day 12. It just is whatever it is. And so, you know, it's at once general and particular. It relates so intimately and thoroughly and completely to your own reality, whatever that is. So this is what the Great Freedom Teaching is. It's three series of teachings, the 12 inquiries on how to rest naturally, and the Power of Wisdom, which is two teachings that are just beautifully expressive of the basic space of awareness. And then the third series of teachings we call the Principles of Unity and Service. And they're very practical ways for us to be together as a worldwide Great Freedom Community, and also for us to interact with other groups and organizations to bring about powerful solutions for the problems facing the world. So you see, we're not just talking about a philosophy. This is an entirely integrated teaching, integrated with everything about life, and integrated worldwide. It's not the kind of thing where you come to a retreat and then you go home and you have no way to connect with anyone who was there, other than an email here or a phone call there. The Great Freedom Community uses all state-of-the-art technology that is available to connect people worldwide. So that if you're, where do you live? Say you're in Half Moon Bay and it's the middle of the night and you have a question, you have a point of view that you feel you can't get out of, you can make a phone call or send an email and there'll be somebody there who can respond to you in a way that's totally supportive of your freedom. So you see, this is what great freedom is. It's a worldwide community of mutual support for awakening and benefit for the whole. You know, our Great Freedom Sanctuary in the U.S. is in Bolinas, California, in Marin County. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Could you speak a little more on the 12 points of inquiry?
Oh, I have the 12 inquiries. What can I share with you that would be valuable to you in that way?
I completely understand where the understanding that it is all our point of view.
Uh-huh.
It is all concepts. Call it concepts, call it ideologies that we accept as a false reality separate from our true being, which is rest and stillness. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in the direction, the inquiry to, if I've understood you, your place of natural resting is similar to being the witness, not attaching to anything that arises. Have I understood you on that?
You have understood up to the point of the witness observing something. There is no witness in natural rest. There's one wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware. That's all. So the awareness is the awareness as everything, with no witness separated out. So, you know, what I talk about is awareness, including and containing all points of view, that initial realization. It can feel like there's an observer or a witness there who's observing themselves as the space of awareness, including all perceptions, ideologies, as you said. So that is that's the foundational realization. But up on that, with continuing to rest naturally, there comes about the realization of oneself as this wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware. So with everything naturally included impartially, with no observer anywhere, because there's only indivisibility. There's only the indivisibility of natural presence. Are you understanding?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a distinction where this witness or observer who seemed to be the case gradually dissolves into this basic space that is entirely aware, with nothing excluded. So one experiences oneself as the basic space of everything, no matter what it is, with no observer of that.
And within that, in a day of moving, living, finding a space of rest can be very direct. Upon awakening, for example, for me, I'm just very easy.
Yes.
As the day unfolds and other things evolve, into that space of rest arises a conception that something is happening outside.
Yes.
A bomb is put right here in the garden, for
yeah.
example.
Uh-huh.
So that experience then enters the resting. That's where my question is.
What to do, and that's rest, rest. And the initial teaching, the 12 inquiries teaching, so definitively and specifically shows one how to do that, how to do that. Because, of course, this is the question we all ask. We all say, well, I've experienced this sublime reality. How do I make it an integrated tapestry?
Throughout the day,
uh-huh.
Every moment.
Throughout every single moment. So this is what the Great Freedom Teaching is. It gives that lived reality in all moments. It shows exactly how to do that. Not in a vague, philosophical, airy-fairy way, but in a very direct way, where there's no way out. It just becomes so clear. Sometimes I liken it to, you know, you've probably never cracked a safe, but maybe you have, but maybe you've seen a movie of someone cracking a safe, and they're listening to the tumblers click, 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 click. Well, it's kind of like that. The 12 inquiries on how to rest naturally, it's click, 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 and then what's always been is completely obvious. But, you know, just like for me, when I was going through this period of resting naturally, it was very much like that. There were all kinds of bombs in the garden. and so, you know, at first I had this realization that all the points of view were included and contained within this relief. I just knew it was relief. And then more and more I realized that those were inseparable. That the relief and the bomb were inseparable. That the relief is the holy positive basic space of the bomb. That the bomb has no independent nature outside of that relief. So you see, this is the key distinction. It's just like you were saying, Shanti, it seems like there's something in the way. Or something in between. It's just crossing this bridge of that one distinction, and that's what the 12 Inquiries teaching does. But you've already realized something extremely fantastic, and that is that all of this is included and contained within you. That is very powerful, and I know that's brought you immense rest already. Yeah. And I'm sure that it's also brought about incredible benefit in your own life and the lives of others.
This is true. Yeah. The stumbling block for me is really when I'm talking about real bombs. I'm talking about life and death threat situations where if in this moment, in this room, the door opened and men came in with guns to take us all out, finding the key for remaining in natural rest the rest of the time, yes. But these kind of situations, I look for that, I understand that it is part of the intricate whole. I understand that within me, there's a space that even the bombs and the men with guns here don't touch.
Absolutely.
But when they have them here, I find it difficult to rest naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what I'm asking you. Where do we find the rest in crisis? I mean, real. Emotional crisis, yes. Easy. Not easy, but...
When it seems inward, personal, inward.
It's a force, let's say, that can appear, because everything is an appearance, greater than our own physical being.
Than our own capacity.
On our doorstep.
Well, you know, this is a great question, and you already have the direct experience of integrating a lot of these points of view, whether they're positive, negative, or neutral. But now you're asking about the big ones that not only face you or me, but face everyone in the world today, you know, if we really look at it, because we all have...
Any one of us could have been on those subways in London, for example.
Uh-huh, right, exactly. And
as we transit out in 2 days, we will face it in the train station.
And we're facing it right now, really. If any of us stop and open up our eyes enough, there are nuclear missiles pointed every which way to obliterate the entire planet. The ozone layer is diminishing. The oceans are rising. 15% of the people in the world have enough food to eat and are gobbling up all the resources when there's plenty of food for everyone and plenty of resources for everyone. So, you know, when when we open our eyes, we don't just see our own little blissful heaven. We see everything. And this is what you're speaking about. How do you rest when you face the immensity of what is occurring right now, the bomb in the garden? So for many people, it's easy to integrate all these positive and neutral points of view and some of the negative ones that are related to our own personal circumstance, as you said.
Suffering, jealousy, insecurity, unworthiness,
all of that delicious stuff.
The pickle.
The pickle.
Yes, our pickles, great.
Well, you know, this is where we need to really come together and support. And of course, I had to face these things in myself, you know, my own direct experience of these things. Well, because, you know, at first it was like, oh, well, all these points of view, they're kind of personal. But then the minute you wake up and realize you include everything, it's everything, all the nuclear warheads, all the people who are duking it out in one kind of war or another, the gang violence, the rapists, the sexual assault of all myriad kinds one way or another, genocide, misogyny, you know, women who are having their life force cut off in one way or another, being totally depleted so they can never contribute anything. Men, the same thing, because their emotions are being stifled or snuffed out. I mean, all of this is realized. It isn't just that you realize some of the fun points of view and then go on your merry way on a little lark throughout life. I mean, one could do that, but it wouldn't be freedom. So, you know, for me, the direct experience of that was just the realization that anything could happen and that it is happening. You know, that everything is simultaneously inherent. There's nothing split off into all these past, present, and future events. This great calamity, so to speak, of point of view is right here. It's all within me right now. Anything that I can imagine to be, it is included and contained within this holy positive basic space, and I am that space. I'm not separate from it. So, you know, this may sound like a minute philosophical distinction, but when we come into the direct experience of that as our own reality, it's complete freedom. So this is what you're asking about, how to take that final leap. It's called, you know, leaping over or cutting through solidity. Things that seem to be so solid that they're impenetrable. So, you know, this is when we get to the point where we realize ourselves to be pure space. Well, you know, it's almost impossible to do this without a teacher, really. It's almost impossible to do this without a teacher. It's so immense. Once in a while, it can be done with a teacher, but more often, without a teacher, but more often than not, the final leap won't be made. The life will just be lived as it is. So, you know, the Great Freedom Teaching, it offers support from the beginning, from the first realization to this final realization. Because let's face it, you know, if you have another human being with you who's already integrated that point of view, they've cut through solidity, they've made the leap, then they can share it in a natural human way about how that occurs. So that's what the Great Freedom Teaching is. And the 12 Inquiries Teaching can definitely support you in cutting through that final piece. I'm so glad you came here today. I'm very happy you came here. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I understand completely. You're in the right place. And thank you for your great benefit. I don't know what benefit it is. I kind of have a sense of what it is. Thank you for the many ways in which you contribute to all of us through the presence of your being. It is. It really is. It's totally automatic. And for some of us, we're lucky enough to realize that more and more. And you do.
And one more tiny question. Mm. When you said you don't need a disaster.
Yeah.
Is there not an element in you awakened in the moment that you gave up?
Uh-huh.
Did you say something about surrender? In the moment that you surrendered and accepted, you awakened. Is it not an ingredient?
Well, you know, no, it isn't. Well, surrender is inevitable. You know, surrender is naturally occurring. It doesn't need to be drummed up. Just try to hang on to any perception. It's impossible. So we're already surrendered. You might notice I never use the term surrender because most people don't want to hear it. You know? They don't want to hear it. They've tried to do it, and it just, it's just another thing to do. But we're already surrendered. Or yesterday it was, well, don't we need grace? Well, we are grace. You know, we are grace. We are surrender. So, you see, the moment we say something in particular is necessary, like surrender, then that becomes a thing in itself. Yeah.
So it is the same. When you're in rest, you're in rest, no matter what.
Nothing
included. It's just to be in rest.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything included. Everything included.
But we cannot make it. We cannot make it.
Make rest? Oh. No, it already is. However, Here it is. All we are is self-knowing awareness. So the most important choice we make in every moment is natural rest. That's the most important choice in every moment. But it's not an individual personal identity making the choice. It's self-knowing awareness choosing itself. Do you see? It's just like if the room is dark and I turn on the light, it illuminates the room and it illuminates itself. So this is what self-knowing awareness is, whatever you want to call, by whatever name you want to call it.
Who switches the light on?
The light is always on. The light's never been off. It really has never been off. Honest. Yes.
It looks like that everybody, almost all the people that experience in one time or this time, or short time or longer period, this experience of unity, let's say, this experience of being one and all.
Mm-hmm.
That when there was an impersonal situation, question, moment of like dissolving into this space. And still, even that it's the most fantastic experience for everybody, still it looks like that the possibility to turn it to a permanent situation is like a talent. Because it's like in spite of many people are having many experiences like this and trying to get them again and again, or let's say are working on those situations, it's not arising. And some people, even in spite of any efforts, it's just coming. It seems like there is a highly planned that it will be just for few, that it will not be for everybody. I mean, because many people touch this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And even for quite a lot of people that I know, also there was a time of awakening, but it came like a relief, but it's kind of like a new toy of the mind. Wow, what a new great toy. So for a while we are playing with awakening and with being truth and honest and everything, and then it's falling again. It doesn't matter, sometimes it's after long periods, but it's falling again to the old habits, that they are always there waiting. So it's somehow it's a variation of your question. And also it looks like that many masters, great masters, woke up and there were no teachers there. They were waking up from their own experience that happened to them many times in difficult situations or in a sudden or they didn't even plan it.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the teaching can be very inspiring, but it's like it's pulling the leg of the one who is doing that. Like it's somehow it's like, I don't like these terms, but it's like written already who will wake up and who not. Because even the teaching, it's like the teaching is keeping us a bit away from that. Because the teaching always gives us some idea of how it should be. And to people who woke up, I hear the same experience again and again and again. There was no concept of how it should be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no teaching involved. Many of the great teachers, there was no teaching involved in the moment that they woke up.
Well, why not just forget about all that? Just forget about all of it and rely on your own direct experience of awareness. And then everything, you will know everything from that. But as soon as you start to think all this stuff, that great one woke up in this circumstance and maybe it's predestined and only for some. And you see, all these are just points of view. They're all entirely equal. They're no different than dog, cat, making love, having a baby, going to school, being the child of your mother and father. You see, all these points of view are totally equal. All intellectual speculation about what awakening is has to come to a complete end, and you have to rely on your own direct experience, keeping the total focus on yourself. Because the experience of self-knowing awareness is known only by you. That is what human life is about. It's a precious human opportunity, and it's the opportunity for every single person. So don't exclude yourself from it by making up a story about predestiny or this great one or that great one who had to face this, that, or the other thing, or the people you know in your own life who woke up and then fell down, whatever it is. You see, there are all these ideas about awakening, but there are very, very few circumstances where you're going to meet up with an authentic teacher and an authentic teaching that can open this vast expanse of awareness as your own reality. That's very, very rare. It's very, very rare. And when you find yourself in that circumstance, you can either take it up or not. You know, you can either take it up or not. It's entirely up to you. So, you know, the reality, if I were just sitting here talking about all these things and didn't have any results to show for it, that'd be foolish, wouldn't it? You know, that'd really be foolish. But what I have seen is that people do wake up easily, and it's an authentic awakening. It's not some kind of thing that people fall back from. You see, freedom as immediate perception guarantees that one is free as all perceptions. As all perceptions, no matter what they are, whether it's a perception of awakening or a perception of non-awakening, whether it's a perception of a great being or an ordinary being, whether it's a perception of a madman with a gun at your head, or it's a perception of Buddha kissing you on the lips, you know. You're free as all perceptions. There's no perception that has ever been separated from you. You are the wholly positive basic space of all perceptions, without any of them excluded. You see, if you have some idea about what awakening is or what it takes to be awake, then there are going to be some perceptions that are excluded from that definition. But if you're free as all perceptions, it doesn't matter what perception comes up. You see, this is true compassion and kindness. Compassion and kindness that excludes anything isn't compassion and kindness. And this includes all our perceptions, no matter how horrific they are. So, you know, when I suggest to you that you're free as every perception, I'm not just suggesting something to you that's some kind of cockamamie scheme that came out of California. I'm suggesting to you timeless wisdom, whereby you are free for your entire life, no matter what comes up. And then, of course, the big point of view most of us face, the biggest one we'll ever face, no matter whether there's a gun at our head during our life or whatever it is, will be our own death. You know, when we face that, are we free as that perception? So you see, freedom as immediate perception is timeless wisdom. It's the timeless wisdom of total freedom that can be counted on, because it does not rely on any description, characterization, intellectual speculation, or anything at all. Is that clear?
I want to clear more the first part of the question. This is this from the second part, but the first part is like, isn't it like, meant to be or supposed to be a talent of few, because really, like, many of us are going through those experiences, but you know what it's like, is it supposed to be like that not everybody will wake up? I'm asking myself for the first time this question now, and I never asked this question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but somehow it came to me like that. Is it supposed to be like that? Because of what I said, because it's like, the same food is offered for everybody, but just few takes it, even if it's available, therefore available.
Well, if you want it to look that way, it will look that way. You see, whatever perceptions you take to be true, that's what will be true for you. So, you know, my own experience is that many people wake up. So you see, but I had this experience firsthand. Firsthand, I didn't do anything special. I was just an ordinary American woman. You know, I had a couple kids, a beautiful husband, a house, and all the right stuff, you know, a car, and belonged to the right clubs. I was a member of the Junior League, one of the outstanding young women in America. But none of that stuff made me happy. You know, I couldn't find satisfaction and fulfillment in any of my points of view, no matter how rarefied, refined, and wonderful and do-gooding they were. So you see, for me, I had the direct opening of this holy, positive, basic space. I was not elect in any way. And you see, in that direct experience for myself, I realized it did not belong to the elect, because I certainly was not elect. I was just an ordinary person. So you see, through my own direct experience, I knew it was possible for everyone, and that was 24 years ago. And since then, I've seen it become a full reality in many people, including many people sitting in this room. I'm not talking about people sitting in another room, and I'm not talking about endless years for that to be possible. With the exception of one person in this room, the longest I've known anyone else is 3 months. So, you know, I'm not talking about endless eons. See, if you say that this is for the elect or for special ones, that's just a subtle way of excluding yourself. But if this point of view comes up, oh, it's for the elect, and you just see it as a point of view, you're inseparable from that point of view, just as you're inseparable from the point of view that many people can wake up. There, you know, everyone's already awake. That's the reality. So that has to be the starting point of one's own realization, that everyone's already awake, and that includes me. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. These are very important distinctions. No one is left out. We'll sit quietly for a few minutes before we end. Sit down, please.
We have a satsang translated into Hindi now at 11:30.